Dean and I wanted to wish a huge congratulations to Vanessa, Vanessa Grimaldi. She obviously hosted this podcast for a very long time, and she did such a great job. And I miss her energy and her positivity and her overall enthusiasm every time she hosted. I really do miss that. And she got married today. So Dean and I wanted to say congratulations. I'm so happy for Vanessa. Vanessa is just a good human being. She's got a great soul. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you have a smile that lights up a room. Vanessa has a smile that lights up a room. Every time she hosted a podcast, every time she was here, every time I interacted with her, she was nothing but warm and sweet. And I definitely miss her energy on a weekly basis. But I wanted to say congratulations. She married her beautiful now husband, Josh, the gray wolf, silver wolf, very, very handsome man. So they are a beautiful husband and wife. And I haven't seen any pictures from the wedding. I know it was a pretty small, intimate ceremony, and I'm excited to see them on their wedding day. And I wish them nothing but the best and a lifetime of happiness. And I hope they grow their family soon, because I know that Vanessa is going to be an incredible mother. And I just I'm really happy for her. And I'm happy for Josh. And I'm happy they found each other. So I wish them the best. Ashley and I are sending them our love.
Hell, I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared, an iHeartRadio podcast.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Help, I Suck at Dating. This is Dean Unglert, joined in studio across the world by Jared Haben. Jared, I was told that you were going to be recording from a car, but it looks like you're not in a car. What's the deal?
So we were at a doctor's appointment. I thought it was going to be running late, but we got out of there just in time. So we had our third doctor's appointment. I got to see an ultrasound once again, and the baby is doing well. Everything is healthy. We had a blood test drawn today. We don't get the results for a little while to see if the child has any health complications with spina bifida. So hopefully those come back normal, and hopefully everything is healthy. Everything is looking good. The sonogram, man, it's crazy. I honestly, for the first time, I felt really connected to the kid, because it's starting to look real. It's starting to look real. Sorry, of course the phone would ring when I'm going into this moment. I hope.
Is that a landline?
Oh, it's a landline. I'm at my in-laws right now. You don't think my in-laws have a landline that gets called 9 times a day?
I don't think I've heard a landline phone ring in over a decade.
It's been a while for me, too. Every time the phone rings, it's quite jarring. I'm like, what is this obscure sound I'm hearing in the background? Nope, it's just the phone ringing. But anyway, let's see if it ends.
Do you want to answer it live on air?
I should, huh? I don't want to move the mic because I'm not understanding. Oh, Ashley's coming in now. Just this is such par for the course for Help, I Suck at Dating. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. How many rings does that landline have? It goes for like 12 times.
Yeah, can we get a voicemail, maybe?
Yeah. You know, remember the old days where you would hear your voicemail played? Like the phone would ring and then it would directly go to voicemail and then you could hear your voicemail. Those were the days, man.
I do remember those days. Hey, so beyond all of those things that you're saying from the doctor's appointment, was there any other big news shared at the doctor's appointment?
Oh, that news is already shared. We know the sex of the baby. I'm not sure if I've told you that or told people on Instagram that, but yeah, we know we found out the sex. We had a little moment between Ashley and I. This was like 2 weeks ago now. We were in Rhode Island, and we drove to the place that we're looking to build our home, and it's by the water. So we sat on these docks. And it was actually quite awkward because there was a guy on a boat just staring at us because we definitely were not allowed on those docks. But it got sent in an email form, which is so 2021, where we found out the sex of our baby via email. Very anticlimactic, but still, you know, technology is crazy these days. So we had a moment and we sat down with Lois and opened the email and found out the sex of our kid, which is pretty crazy. Now it's much more real.
And what is that gender of the kid?
Well, we're trying to figure out how to tell people on social media. We told our families, so they know.
You mean you're trying to figure out how you can make a quick buck on social media by sharing it?
Possibly. We'll see. But it's crazy, man. It's exciting. And the ultrasound was pretty, it was the first time that I felt, like I said, really connected to our baby. And I didn't cry, but I could definitely feel myself overwhelmed with emotion, which made me really happy because that was the first time that that's really happened. I felt more emotional seeing the ultrasound of our baby today, more so than when I found out we were pregnant. And I think it's just becoming more and more real seeing, the baby was like moving around, the legs kicking and you could see hands and the head and you could see the mouth moving. It was pretty surreal. And then, you're watching all this while simultaneously hearing, your child's heartbeat. And it was cool, man. It was really cool.
Would you be equally as excited, more or less excited, if it was a baby of the opposite sex of whatever the baby's sex is?
I would be equal. I'm very indifferent about the sex of our baby. Ashley has made it known that she would say, she'd love either a boy or a girl, but she would prefer a girl. I'm very indifferent. So as long as the baby is healthy, I've always wanted a boy and a girl. So I don't think I'd be, I don't think my emotion would change at all.
So needless to say, this is not the last time you guys will be getting an ultrasound together. Obviously you're going to get more with this kid.
Yeah, definitely not for this pregnancy.
Yeah. But I'm saying you guys are definitely gonna have more kids after this.
I hope so. I mean, the problem is Ashley is still having a pretty bad pregnancy up to this point where she's sick constantly. Dude, she threw up. She had macaroni and cheese yesterday at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon because she was really hungry. Dude, 5 minutes later, she puked it all back up. It was disgusting.
This might sound really ignorant of me, but I kind of would like dig being pregnant for 9 months. You can kind of get away with just about anything you want. You can eat anything you want. You can like fart and puke wherever you want. Like you get a lot of liberties for being a pregnant lady or, walking around the house.
Yeah, but I also feel like you just explained like liberties of a guy. The things that I feel like you and I as a guy, we can kind of fart anywhere. We could be disgusting and it's socially acceptable.
I guess the only thing I can really compare it to is, when you get like really sick or something, like you have a flu and it just like kind of knocks you on your butt. It's so nice to like just have an excuse to lay in bed all day and watch movies and eat crap because it's like, I'm sick, so I'm just going to do this until I feel better. And I guess pregnancy, I just would imagine be like that on steroids and for 9 months instead of 5 days.
I find myself eating worse because she's eating way worse. So when she sends me to McDonald's because she's craving a cheeseburger, like, well, I might as well get the Big Mac meal. I mean, I'm here. And so, right. But the problem is, like, one day it's McDonald's, the next day it's Taco Bell, and then we're making macaroni and cheese at home, and I haven't had greens in 8 days. I'm like, oh, God, I am just not in the best shape of my life.
She's going to lose 10 pounds in one day, and you're going to take a year to get the 10 pounds that you're going to gain off.
Oh, 1,000%. But everything is good. I appreciate you asking, Yeah.
I want you to share the sex of the baby right now. That's the reason I'm asking. Jared, what is the sex of the baby? 3, 2, 1, say it.
I can't.
Did you say it?
I didn't, unfortunately. Where are you right now in the world?
I'm somewhere in Utah.
So are you driving? Are you with Kaylin? What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm driving around. Went for a nice hike this morning for sunrise. Saw a nice natural hot spring up in the mountains here in Utah. I fly back to LA today, and then I fly back to Utah tomorrow, and then I'm driving to Montana to hang out with my brother for a week before we go to New York for a couple days.
So when you fly out to LA, will you just leave your van in a safe spot, I hope?
I'm just going to park it at the airport and come back for it, because it's only going to be like a day, I think. So
that makes sense.
But then, so Kaylin and I are flying to New York. She really wants to go to the U.S. Open, so we're going to go see the U.S. Open in New York next week or a week and a half or whatever it is, and then...
No, that'll be cool for you too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big tennis fan, but I'll gladly go there to support her interests. And then from there, we're going to fly to Greece and then go to Italy for like a week and a half or 2 weeks. So that'll be like our first, it'll be my first time in Europe in a long time, obviously because of COVID. But it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. I know Italy like might kind of shut down again, so I'm a little skeptical of the trip. But
yeah, Europe's getting hit pretty hard with this Delta variant right now, which sucks. But hopefully you guys are still able to go and stay safe. And do Greece. Oh, my God. I'm so jealous if you guys are able to go to Greece. I dream of Santorini.
Yeah, that's where we're going. I just feel a little guilty. Like, I know that COVID, like, it's just the fact that there's like so many cases coming up again. And like, yeah, we're vaccinated, but it just, I still feel like a little bit of guilt traveling to Europe at the moment.
I don't think you should at all. I mean, a lot of these places, I mean, especially places like Greece or even Italy to a certain extent, a lot of the, you know, tourism is the one that brings in money. I mean, it's, you know, one day we're all going to die. So like, there's, don't feel guilty about taking a week and a half vacation with your girlfriend.
Yeah, no, I know you're right, but I just can't help it a little bit. But yeah, that's kind of what we're doing. So, nothing. Oh yeah, you might have to host this podcast on your own, by the way, next week. I don't know if I've told you that yet. I don't think I've told anyone that yet, but we'll see.
Oh, okay. Well, that sucks because you're the true talent behind this. I just kind of blabbered the entire time. We all know it's true.
Oh my god.
Well, let's get into a couple hot topics before we move into our guest. This is from the New York Post. Headline, frisky couple spotted having naked morning sex on cliff during lockdown. Dean, we all know this was you and Kaylin. They took, quote, sex on the beach to new heights. An Australian couple are going viral after they were spotted getting frisky on a cliff during lockdown. Quote, just thought it was a little levity given the times and the new restrictions. Photograph Scott Robinson told the news. He was the one who took these pics. He took them from the water while swimming. He says, see lots of wildlife, but never here up on the cliffs. So the resulting pic, first of all, is this legal? Can you like take pictures of people having sex publicly?
I was going to say that's kind of messed up. I would be pissed off if I was the couple. I mean, granted, like, yeah, you're having sex outside. So it's like, you kind of get what's coming to you, but like who just takes a picture of people banging and then goes ahead and like publishes it to the news outlets. It's
yeah,
kind of weird.
That's pretty great. So it goes on, the resulting pic, which Robinson posted in the private Facebook group, shows the buck naked couple going at it halfway up a coastal cliff right under the noses of obvious sightseers standing atop the bluff. These people are insane. In the accompanying caption, the photog jokingly pondered whether their sextra circular activities were considered, quote, outdoor recreation or outdoor exercise. Wow, he's a real jokester. That one should be a stand-up comedian. The photographer also referenced Australia's renewed lockdown restrictions, which stipulate that New South Wales residents cannot leave their government areas except to exercise or engage in other essential activities. I mean, this is kind of essential. I think sex is essential. I mean, am I right?
Hey, quick sidebar. Is it buck naked or butt naked?
Okay, I always thought it was butt naked, but in the article, it is spelled B-U-C-K dash naked. So
maybe that's like an Australian thing.
Yeah, I was thinking, I don't know, because, you know, maybe bucks, like a buck, because they're naked.
Yeah, why not? Why wouldn't it be like moose naked or something?
I don't know. I'm currently drinking coffee out of a monkey cup, so why would it be monkey naked? They're monkey. They're naked too.
That's a good point, Jared. Speaking of buck naked, where was the weirdest place that you and Ashley have ever been buck naked together?
Ooh, the weirdest?
Well, like the most bizarre.
Yeah,
like the most out of the.
Oh, that's a great question. I feel like you probably have a better answer than me.
Why not?
Yeah, we never did it in a public place. I guess, man, I'm so lame. Probably just in the living room.
Nice.
You know, so in the apartment, but you know, getting frisky in the non-bedroom environment, and you know, we stayed out in the living room and you know, did some things and had a good time, and now I tell the tale on Help I Suck at Dating.
Is that where baby Haben was conceived?
No, baby Haben was conceived actually, baby Haben was conceived. Oh, I don't even know if I should say this.
Yeah, come on, say it.
In her parents' house.
In her parents' bedroom?
No, God, that would be... I don't think I'd ever be able to look at our kid the same way again if that happened. It was down in the guest room.
It would have been cool if it was their bedroom, because then it would be like Ashley was conceived there, and now your guys' kid is conceived there.
Yeah, no, that's disgusting. Where's the weirdest place you and Kaylin have ever been frisky?
Whoa, dude, that's a really personal question. I don't know if I feel comfortable sharing that.
Who brought this guy, huh?
Dude, I don't know. We're pretty, we're kind of in the same vein as you guys, probably somewhere in the living room.
I got to admit, if people had to poll, like if we polled all of Suck Army and said, who do you think is more adventurous in their sex life, Dean and Kalen or Ashley and Jared? I feel like you guys would win in a landslide.
Yeah, maybe we just give off that vibe. I don't know. I feel like all the oddities and like the weirdness when it comes to like fun locations when you're doing it like that. I feel like that's just like something you do as a kid, you know, like up until you're like 23, 24, 25. I think you just kind of grow out of it at some point.
Yeah, because then you start pulling hamstrings and your back gets tight and you're like, this is just so stupid. What are we doing? Let's go in the bedroom. We can have much more flexibility in there. I would say, I'm assuming that the weirdest or most obscure place that you guys have ever, you know, would be the van.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's probably not wrong. Again, whatever, we're open books, but like, just it kind of feels a little weird talking about this.
This whole thing is weird talking about it.
I just like, I could see not Kaylin getting upset, but like, you know, she's a Christian woman. She's pure.
I mean, we don't have to go into details here. It's just like, yeah, you know, maybe you guys have had overnight dates in the van, a fantasy van.
Yeah, I mean,
van.
We've lived together for like 2 years, so I guess. We're bound to touch each other's privates at least a little bit
at some point.
Yeah, the van would probably be the weird spot. There maybe is like another weird one, but I can't seem to think of it right now. But in my entire life, I don't know. Like I said, I did weird things when I was like a kid, like a teenager, but I haven't done anything overly weird in a long time.
One time I got a black eye from doing the damn thing, as they say. I thought we were down in a basement and there were pipes and like exposed edges of tables, and we thought it was a good idea. And then I like leaned down for some, I forget why, but I hit my eye so hard on a pipe and my eye immediately blew up and it was all bloodshot, dude. It was bloodshot and black and blue for a week afterwards. And I had to explain to people what the hell happened to me. And they were like, what happened to you? And I'm like, I walked into a pole. It's a long story. So pathetic. Of course, like as soon as I try something adventurous, it just goes downhill.
I think I've shared this already on this podcast, but I can't remember it. There was a weird phase I was in college where I wanted people to punch me in the face. And so like I had a crush on this girl.
What are you, Brad Pitt from Fight Club?
I guess maybe I had just seen the movie and I was inspired. I like had the crush on this girl. She's really pretty. We got on a few dates and then we were all at like this house party together. And I was like, just punch me in the face as hard as you can. And she was like, no, that's weird. And I was like, do it. And then eventually she started just like punching me in the face. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. It was really weird.
Did this escalate into a frisky situation? Like, is there a good ending to this story? Or did she just punch you in the face?
We were like in the middle of a house party. And she was like laying on top. Like I was like laying flat on my back on the ground. And she was like straddling me like fully clothed, like not sexual at all. And I was just like, punch me in the face. And it was really weird. And then I woke up the next morning and I had this really bad black eye. And I was like, okay, as far as anyone is concerned that doesn't know how I got this, I got in like a sick street fight with a big guy. And I kicked his butt, but he got one lucky punch in. So
yeah, you should see the other guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't say those are my proudest moments, but it happened. So it's part of what makes me me, I guess.
I know. In reality, Dean woke up and was like, I'm never drinking again.
Yeah.
We do have a great couple guests coming up from Shaws of Sunset. We have Mike Showid and Paulina Ben-Cohen, which, of course, Shaws of Sunset airs on Bravo Sunday nights, 8 p.m. It's in its ninth season, and they're going to be coming up on the podcast right after this quick break. Welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating. Dean, myself, and we have some very special guests from Shaws of Sunset, which of course airs on Bravo Sunday nights at 8 p.m. in its ninth season. It is Mike Showid and Paulina Ben-Cohen. How are you guys? Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Amazing.
Thanks for having us.
Oh my God, of course. So like I said, it's going into its ninth season, Shaws of Sunset. It's a crazy successful show. Mike, you know, when you first were on the show, did you ever think it was going to turn into this?
Not a chance. Like, they gave us 6 episodes, season one. We filmed the teaser in a friend's backyard. I was like, this is going to be a fun run. I'll have some little bit of fame. And man, it was incredible to see what it blew up into becoming. Like, yeah, the show aired and Bravo was just in shock. Like, wow, we found the next big thing. Over 1.5 million people tuned into the show. They were super excited. And before the season was even over, they were asking us about a season two.
What do you think it is about the show that makes it so successful, or has made it so successful?
America lacks culture, right? Because what you used to see on TV was just sitcoms, right? And if there was reality TV, it was like Survivor and that kind of stuff, right? So when we came on, we opened the door to our culture that people knew very little about, right? They saw things on the news because of the Iran war or what they would hear about these, you know, these mullahs. And then here we are showing a different side where we party. We, you know, we're just like the next guy. We want to have a good time. The next girl, we want to eat and drink and party. And we show people our culture, our music, our language, our food. And most importantly, our friendship, you know, it was based around a group of real friends who've grown up together. And you get to see our trials and tribulations, and people really like that kind of stuff.
So, Paulina, you're coming into it now. How has your experience been thus far, you know, being on Shaw's of Sunset?
It's been really nice.
Yeah, well, there we go. Short, but to the point.
Tell them.
Care to elaborate?
Honestly, it's a bit overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It's a lot. It's a lot of drama. And it's very hard to come into a group of friends who are so, you know, they're tight and united and
super involved in each other's business.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so, to the point where I can't even imagine. It's literally like in high school. That's like how you're so involved with, you know, in like your friends' relationships and stuff like that. Like that's literally how it should be in high school. But yet they are a bunch of, you know, 40, 50 year olds. And yet it's as if we're in high school all over again.
Do you feel a little bit like an outsider?
Yes. They're definitely not my cup of tea.
Well, it's, you know, a lot of, I feel like relationships go through that where a girl, or, you know, boyfriend or girlfriend or people will start dating and then you enter into their friend group, their family. And it just feels like sometimes you're kind of you're on the outside looking in. And I feel like so many people go through that. Have you been able to navigate that to try to insert yourself into this new group of people that are so close with the, you know, the guy that you're dating?
At the beginning, it was a lot easier. They were very welcoming and very friendly and loving. I think this season, you know, it took a turn. Some people were very, how should we say, they were there for me. Others were not.
It's tough, right?
It's really hard.
Like you guys said, like you alluded to, you come into a group, whether you're a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and there's a click already. I'm so sorry.
Fine. You know what's funny? That's the second landline that has rung during this podcast, because I'm currently at my in-law's house, and as soon as we started the podcast, their phone was ringing. And then Dean said he hasn't heard a landline in probably 15 years.
The only reason we have
it's because our gate is associated.
Yeah,
with
so
it,
the so. Gate, you know, because
oh, I hear you.
My girl here is addicted to Postmates, Amazon, you name it. You know, we have like 35 packages a day at the door. So
I hear you there.
It's wild, man. But just like you guys were alluding to, anytime you come into a group of friends as the partner or boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, those people already want to not like you because they are so protective of their friend, right? Like, ooh, what does Mikey want? You know, who? What is he all about? Is he trying to use her or whatnot? So my friends, because we're so tight, also felt the same way, right? So they're very protective of me, but it's like overboard sometimes. So when she's saying it's like high school, it's like, we're f-ing grown adults. If I don't bring my partner to a party, there's no reason to be interrogated why she's not there, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
We all go through trials and tribulations. We all have fights. And, you know, to spotlight that is not right. Right? You stepped out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, most definitely. Can you guys share a little bit more about how you guys met each other?
So I had a friend in Las Vegas that I was very close with back when I lived there. And we stayed in contact when I moved back to California. He knew about my divorce, knew that I was single and dating. He's like, man, you need to find yourself a nice Persian Jewish girl so you can try that and see, because I had all these preconceived thoughts of what a Persian Jewish girl was like. He's like, you know, she's really hot. You'll love her. And I was like, okay, cool. You know, have some fun with her. And it was definitely... I never thought that it would lead to where we are now in our relationship. We gave it a shot. We went on a first date and I fell in love with her. I knew I was going to marry her from the second I met her. We talked on the phone for a couple of weeks,
yeah.
Got to know each other, exchanged pictures. And she has a beautiful voice, very sexy voice. And she was very complimenting of me and I was very complimenting of her. And I kind of wanted to get to know her before I took her out on a date, because typically my dates were go out, we hook up and we probably won't talk again, or we might just to hook up again. And with her, because she's Persian and Jewish, I wanted to give her a little more respect. So I'm like, let's go to sushi, our first date. And on the way to the sushi spot, it's like, you know what I'm really in the mood for? And I'm thinking to myself, you know, dirty thoughts. I'm like, what? You know, yeah. Excited. She's like, Taco Bell. I said, what? She goes, yeah, let's go have Taco Bell.
Yeah, Taco Bell's the best.
Dude, but right? On a first date in LA?
Well, I was
that's
vegan.
Very rare. And she didn't want to tell me she's vegan.
Yeah.
So we go to Taco Bell. And I'm like, all right, I'm a big baller at Taco Bell. So I order everything on the menu.
Obviously. Right?
And I had one double-decker.
Can I get one double-decker? No meat. And we sat down. I'm like, you know, do you want to try any of this stuff? She goes, no, I'm vegan. And we started talking. She nibbled on her little taco while aww. I just scarfed down all this Taco Bell. And we sat there for like 3 hours, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was wild, man. To the point where the security guard came over and was like, you guys are having a lot of fun, huh? Like, like, you know, you're at Taco Bell, right? Like, that's what he was trying to insinuate. I was like,
yeah.
And we snapped out of that trance because we just were so focused on each other. And I mean, 3 years later, we're still together.
It's, I know you guys are about to close Taco Bell down. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And Paulina, I know that you have two beautiful children. And a lot of people ask us when they should tell, you know, if they're a single mom or a single dad, when they go on dates, when should they bring up kids? You know, when should that conversation happen? Because some people are a little hesitant to bring it up early because they don't want to scare someone away, but also they want to be real and authentic and be true to themselves. So how did you navigate that?
I would say right off the bat, you should mention it. I'm like that. I'm very straightforward. Right off the bat, I told Mike I have two kids. It's funny, when I first sent him a picture with me and my son at the time, he thought it's like my niece or something, or my nephew.
First picture you sent was you and
Mason.
No, Mila in the jacuzzi.
Yes, you're right. I'm sorry. I thought I sent you the Disneyland one.
And you guys were kissing each other.
Yes, aww. Yes.
I was like,
yes.
Oh, how cute. That's your niece? You know?
Yeah, like, yeah.
No.
And I'm like, no.
I was like, oh.
So,
you know, like, you know, okay, cool. You have a daughter, huh? She goes, well, no, I have two kids. I'm like, oh, no way. Then the next picture came and it was with her and her son and her daughter. I was like, oh, damn. Okay. I guess we're just going to have some fun and, you know, we'll just, you know, call it that.
I think it's just better to be straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
If someone's going to get scared, then that's not the person for you.
Yeah.
But Mike, it sounds like you weren't scared necessarily, but you were still a little taken aback by it. But you were obviously, at the end of the day, totally okay with everything.
You know, at the time, it wasn't the ideal situation, you know, because I was a young guy, just got out of a divorce. I wanted to have fun. I really didn't want to take on more responsibility than I needed to. And I really didn't think much of it. I was like, okay, you know, she just got out of a divorce. I just got out of one. We're just going to have a good time and we'll see where it goes.
Realistically, that's not an ideal situation for anyone, I think.
Sure, it's hard, right?
You know what I mean? You have kids. Great. You know, yeah. It's just...
Unless both of you had children and you come together like the Brady Bunch, then it's easier, right?
Right.
Sometimes.
But you know, after our first date, I was like, whatever. Okay, she has kids. We'll figure it out. Because, again, you know, I didn't even understand the responsibilities that it's going to take to help raise two kids. They were 5 and 2. So they were babies, you know, mm-hmm. like young.
Yeah.
So I didn't meet Mason for several months. And I met Mila. She was only 2. So she's like, okay, you know, she's not going to remember much of it. So we all went and had lunch. And I remember before I got there, I stopped to get her a toy because I wanted to make a good impression. So I got her a bubble toy.
But, we still have it.
But I'm stupid because I didn't realize how big this freaking bubble toy was. And she had little hands. So she's trying to like hold this bubble toy to make bubbles. But, you know, just she loved it because it was like Dumbo or something. I don't remember. It was
a unicorn.
Was it a unicorn?
Yeah.
So it was cute. And I won brownie points with Paulina and with Mila. And
yeah, it was really cute.
It was a cute date at CPK in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Well, so now that you guys have been together 3 years, is there any talks of you guys having your own kids?
Yes. Yes. We went to a fertility doctor just to make sure that I can have children, that she can have children, that everything's okay, because I'm getting a little bit older. I'm 42. Right. And everything's working fine. And, you know, the doctor said that you guys are good to go and you must just have a sexual. What did he say? He's the funniest thing. He didn't say have sex. He's like, have sexual encounters. That's what he said. Like, wow, you just made that sound so
awkward.
I know. Like, it's amazing how when people try to make something sound more elegant or sophisticated, it just sounds so much worse. So like, just tell us to have sex. That's it. Yeah, that's all you need to say.
You
must have sexual encounters. I'm like, whoa, all right. And then, you know, you have 3 days when a woman's ovulating and it's just like, you're working under pressure. So you're
crazy.
Like,
oh, trust me, man. I just went through it. My wife is 15 weeks pregnant and, thank you very much. And oh my God. So we tried for 7 months, man. And like the pressure is just like, oh yeah. It's like, okay, we got to have sex right now. Like 3 times today, 2 times tomorrow. And I'm like, oh God, I'm not a young man anymore. This is not as fun as it used to be.
Yeah. And you just, you got to perform, you know? And it's like,
oh, 100%.
Pressure, dude. It's hard. It's hard.
Oh, there'd be nights where it was like, yeah, you're just like, okay, we got to like keep going. Cause, I'm having a mental block right now.
We're with you, dude. It's hard.
Yeah.
That's a lot of sexual encounters, guys.
A lot of sexual, but you have to perform, right? It's not just, you know, just sex. Like you gotta.
Yeah, you want to like, you know, enjoy it.
Yeah, that too.
Well, obviously this podcast is called Help I Suck at Dating. So I have to ask you, Pauline, Mike, who sucks at dating more?
I 1,000% me. 1,000%.
Oh,
really? I thought you were going
to
say the
other. I'm surprised to hear that.
Oh, No.
I'm really good at dating. I'm just really bad at relationships, right?
Yeah. Mm. And you know exactly what to say.
Yeah.
You're very, very good at that.
You two are very good looking guys. You know, you understand. I'm ugly, so I have to have game, you know?
You're not handsome at all.
I'm so sorry.
My game was on point, you know? So we 3 hours of Taco Bell, you know what I mean? It was.
And you're very charming. So
I try to be.
I know.
And I was a show off. I bought you every taco and burrito at Taco Bell.
Hey, Mike, if I look half as good as you when I'm 42, I'll be very happy about that.
I know, you're right? Gonna look better. How old are you?
I'm 30.
Oh wow, young dude, enjoy it. 30s are it.
Yeah, I mean, Jared, what are you? 32.
Yeah, going on 33. Getting up there.
Nice.
Well, Mike, thank you so much. Paulina, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Everybody who's listening right now, of course, please go watch. I'm sure you already do because it's in its ninth season. Shaws of Sunset, which of course is on Bravo Sunday at 8 p.m. Thank you so much, guys, for coming on the podcast. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, man, it was fun. That was quick.
That was
yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks, dude.
Quick and easy. That's how we do it here on Help I Suck at Dating. All right, everybody, welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating. Mark is here with us. He is going to hopefully read us some emails, and we'll see if we can't answer them for you guys.
They are both anonymous. Suspicious? Perhaps.
Or just anyway, Nick Viall.
Could be. This one's a quickie. I joined Hinge and I've gone out on one date with one guy. Is it appropriate to ask if he's going out with anyone else on the second date, or is that too soon?
Way too soon.
What? It's 1,000% appropriate. You should ask it whenever you ask right away if you want.
I mean, I guess it's fine to ask, but don't have expectations of him saying he's not going on dates with any other people after one date.
Right, right, right. I'm saying you could ask for the sake of information, but don't be like, oh, well, I don't think you should go on dates with anyone else.
I think it's dangerous. I think it might send him heading for the hills because he's going to think you want more of a commitment from him than he's willing to give, even just by asking the question.
I agree.
Let's do this then. She should preface it by saying, hey, I haven't been doing this very long. I'm kind of new to the game. You're the first person I've gone on a date with. Are you dating other people? Like, essentially being like, should I be dating other people from this app too?
I think you should just assume.
Give her a break.
You can go on other dates with people unless you, let's put a number on this. I say after, if you go on a third date with someone and it's been three good dates, then you can start inquiring into if they're going on dates with other people. Because you've been on one date.
Three?
I say after the third date. Because you go on a first date and you feel things out, and then you're like, okay, that went well. I want to go on a second date to see if it goes as well the second time. And then you go on another date, and then if it goes well enough for a third date, and you go on the third date after that, I think you can really, because we always say in this podcast, you got to go on three dates with one person in order to really know if that's the person you want to pursue or not. Because, for example, my sister went on three dates with now, you know, her husband. First date went really well. Second date, not as good. And she was hesitant to go on a third date. Went on a third date, went splendidly, and now they're married. So I always say three dates. And after the third date, you can start asking like, hey, are you seeing other people? Are you going on dates with other people? Because then it's getting serious.
Okay. I don't think we've ever, you said, we say on this podcast all the time. I don't think we've ever said that on this podcast. First and foremost, I just wanted to leave it at that.
We definitely have. It's been a while, but we have.
Second of all, well, my short-term memory loss is, it's pretty bad these days. But second of all, I don't think it's so binary. I think you just got to, like, if you're feeling it, just do it. You know, it's not like after an X amount of dates, ask this question. It's just like, if you're curious, ask the question. There's no harm in it. And you can even say something along the lines of, like, I don't care if you're dating other people. I just, like, I want to know this. I think that's totally legitimate.
But just by asking the question, I think shows that you care.
Okay, but then let's also say this. Let's say she's got some growing pains with this new app dating culture thing. So, like, let her work out the growing pains. And, like, you know, she's going to have to figure out what works and what doesn't work. And maybe by asking the question, she can gauge the response and then decide whether it's appropriate to ask that question that soon into dating someone.
Dean, that's what you and I are for, okay? Anonymous emails us so that they can really find out more about the dating game today because we're so knowledgeable, obviously.
And, yeah,
but if Anonymous asked this guy that she went on a date with, maybe he, like Tamark said, he gets a little freaked out.
True. I just am a big advocate for speaking your mind. So if that's what you're thinking at the moment, go ahead and say it. What's this? What's that evil smirk for over there, Jared?
Oh, I know. I agree with you. I mean, I don't agree with you, but I think it's time to move on to the second email. Was that evil smirk?
Oh, sure. Okay. So, I mean, Anonymous, you got zero ground there because you had one of us saying one thing, one of us saying the other thing. Mark has yet to weigh in. So I guess you could be the tiebreaker here.
No, I'm with Jared. I think you wait at least three dates, and maybe it's not a number of dates. Maybe it's an escalation of physicality.
Mm-hmm. Can we bring someone else in then? Easton, can you maybe agree with me instead of agreeing with Jared? Hannah, Riley, anyone that's on my team, anyone against me, don't chime in. But anyone that's on my...
I agree with you, Dean. I'm with you 100%.
Yeah.
He's just being Easton. Don't...
That's 2-2. All right, Riley, you're the last one. You're the tiebreaker. What do you got for us?
Riley's not on. It's Hannah and Kendall. What? Hannah has already posted in the chat that she is not joining this conversation for obvious reasons.
No, that's fine. That's fine. She's a little sick. I think she can't speak.
No, I think she agrees with Jared. But Kendall?
Kendall, you care to weigh in?
Kendall says, I agree. Oh, speak your mind. Oh.
Speak your mind.
All right, nice. Good.
There you go. Majority rules.
Have fun going on another Jared. First date.
Majority rules. All right. This is also anonymous, also new to the dating game. She says, I was married for 15 years, just recently started dabbling back in the dating scene. I'm 40, a super busy mom and career woman, so I don't have a ton of free time. I recently started dating someone new, and due to both of our busy schedules, we really only get to see each other maybe once a week. In the meantime, I want to keep in touch, and I know how important communication is, so I try to text him. He's not a great texter. He never texts me first, and he sometimes won't text me back for hours. I worry that maybe he's just not that into me, because I feel like if he were, he would make the time to reach out or tell me that he's thinking about me. Am I overthinking this?
1,000% no. I do not think you are overthinking this. Anonymous, you're 40. I'm assuming this gentleman is probably around your age. You are a busy mom. You are a career woman. You're raising your children. You were married for 15 years, and now you're getting back into the dating game. The last thing you want, the last thing you need is some guy trying to play the game, so to speak. And so if he's not texting you first, he's taking hours to respond. As you said, communication is the most important part of a relationship. And if he's not willing to put the time in to communicate with you, I don't think you're overthinking it. I think this guy might suck.
Interesting take. Quick tangent. I want to gauge your guys' opinion on this. It's kind of relevant, but not necessarily to answer the question. I'm not afraid of many things. You know, like I don't have any fears. But I will say one thing that I've kind of been thinking about more recently that I think is a fear of mine is, let's say, you know, God forbid, in 20 years, Kaylin and I just decide to break up, right? All of a sudden, I'm 50 and single. I think that is the most terrible, you know, I know Anonymous is doing great over there, but being 50 and single, freshly single, seems like it would be really awful. Do you guys have that fear as well at all?
Yes,
or no?
Definitely.
Am I alone in that?
Yeah. Oh, 1,000%. I'm almost 33 and I think I'm too old for the game. Like, let alone something happening in 15 years. It would be very nerve-wracking, to say the least.
Okay, cool. I'm glad that we all kind of feel the same way then. Mark, I know you're already, you know, I know that 50's in your rearview mirror at this point, but I still appreciate you having an input there. I would say that with Anonymous being a bit older, I think it's a generational thing where it's like guys and women of a certain age are just less tech savvy. Like, you know, teenagers and early 20-year-olds are glued to their cell phones all the time. So if they're not texting you back right away, big issue because their phone's always in their hand. But like older gentlemen, older women, I feel like they're maybe less inclined to have technology be such a big part of their day-to-day life. So I don't think it's that big of a red flag.
I guess I'm going off the assumption that he's also not calling her. You know, so if it is a generational thing, I would imagine he would try to call her sometimes and just let her know, you know, hey, what do you want to try to get together? Especially when you get older, as we can all attest to, your schedules start becoming busier, your free time becomes less and less, so you really have to plan out things. And so it seems like Anonymous over here is reaching out to say, hey, what are you doing next Thursday? Or what are you doing Saturday? Whatever. And it doesn't seem like this guy's doing it. Now, granted, I'm making a leap there because I'm assuming this, but, you know, there's only so much information we can go off of.
What do you guys think, Mark?
It's funny when you mentioned the fear of being 50 and single. When you brought that up, it didn't even occur to me that I'm already 50 and there's no danger of me being 50 and single because it's already passed. Never even entered my head. That's kind of a weird thing about being freshly 50. Anyway, I agree with Dean. Speaking for the Generation Xers out there, I have a lot of friends my age who are terrible texters. They will take days to get back to you. And may never get back to you. They're not good at it. And so I think, unless this guy's always on Instagram and Facebook and all this stuff, I'm guessing he's not. I think it's probably fine. And you're maybe looking for problems that aren't really there. I think just take it easy and relax. And I think it's going to be okay.
Well, let me ask you this, Mark. Because you say, I'm assuming the guys that you're talking about are your friends, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you text your wife differently than you text your friends? For example, if your wife reached out, would you respond quicker than if a friend reached out?
Yes.
That's my point. I think that if she's reaching out and he's not responding, then maybe he isn't as into her as she's hoping.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think I'm a good texter, though. But I think a lot of these guys are just a little bit intimidated by this phone in their pocket. It's kind of a weird thing. I think unless there are other problems, then I think everything's okay. But I mean, you make a point, Jared, for sure.
Easton, what's your take on this? I feel like you got some good input here.
I think even with technology barriers, I think that if someone's into you, they will send a carrier pigeon to get in touch with you. Like, they'll do whatever they can do. So I would be concerned, but also, come on, you're newly single. Just live it. I don't know. Try to get out of your head. I know it's a hard thing to do, but I don't know.
I think that's great advice. No, I agree. Anonymous, you know, you shouldn't overthink it because you are newly single, and don't put too much stress on finding a relationship that quickly. I agree with Easton.
But I do agree, like, you're newly single, you're 40, you're smoking hot, like, play the field a little bit, you know, go on a day to day for a couple weeks, maybe just get them lined up, figure it all out.
Remember that woman that went on 100 dates, not 100 days, but like 100, she went on 100 dates. So maybe Anonymous, hey, there you go. Nice little challenge for yourself. You got the next year. So Anonymous, maybe this time next year you can email back in the podcast, because obviously we'll still be airing because we're thriving. And you can give us an update on whether you went on 100 dates in 1 year.
Well, that's the big thing too. If it's important for you to get texts back in a timely manner, then that guy's probably not for you, because even if he's great for you, even if you guys are great together, whatever, if he doesn't text you back, it's not going to be something that you're fulfilled with. So yeah, just go on more dates. I think that's a pretty simple solution.
Bada bing, bada boom. I think that's going to do it for this week's episode. What do you think, Dean?
What do you think, Easton?
I have one thing, just one really quick thing to bring up. I'm sorry, right at the end here. So you guys might know that in 2019, I was the caramel corn princess for Arclight Cinemas.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember.
Very big deal for me. And Arclight Cinemas is no more, but I regained my crown. There is a popcorn company called Thank You Popcorn. They're very cool. They do like flavored popcorn. And they have named me the 2021 Caramel Corn Princess. And they let me design my own flavor. I have my own caramel corn. It's called the Caramel Corn Princess Mix. And it's caramel corn with M&Ms mixed in, which is what I do when I go to the movies. And I'm really excited about it. And you can get it right now. And the coolest part about it is that if you buy this, all the proceeds go to a charity I like called Shoes That Fit. And it gets shoes for kids for school that can't afford it. And Dean and Jared, you have some of this on their way to your house right now, so you guys can enjoy the popcorn. But thankyoupopcorn.com if you want the Caramel Corn Princess Mix. It's really good. I've been eating it all morning.
Where can people get it again?
Thankyoupopcorn.com. That's the name of the place to be. It's super good.
And it goes to a great cause.
Yeah.
I love the shameless plug. I really, I think it's great. I think it's just great.
Oh, I revolve my life around shameless plugs. You kidding me? Easton, I have a question for you before we go, because yes, you're such a big movie guy. If you had to choose one movie to show a date, so you can even like say you go on a date with Allison, or like back in your single days when you would go to the movies, if you could choose one movie throughout the entirety of civilization to see, to show your date, what movie would you go to?
I've thought about this before.
Oh.
That movie is Who's Harry Crumb, starring John Candy. And the reason is, I think that movie reflects my sense of humor very well. Not a lot of people have seen that movie. And if they like it and they're willing to hang out with me afterwards, I think it's going to be a good relationship. So that's the movie.
That's such a good personalized answer.
Mm-hmm. So Allison likes that movie without question, right?
Allison tolerates, she enjoyed the movie. She has seen it a couple times now and she thinks it's funny. But I have it like committed to memory. It's like one of my favorite movies, and I don't know why. But
so maybe she doesn't like it, but she likes that you like it.
Yes, yes, and she she appreciates like what it means to me, which is the most important part about it, I think. But that's the movie I would pick, and I think everyone should go out and watch it too.
Mark, what about you? What movie would you pick?
And this is to sum yourself up. And in a nutshell, this is me. Is that what you're saying to this partner?
Well, you could pick whatever movie you want. Easton went that route. He wanted to show a movie that was very personalized to him so his date or his wife could better understand his sense of humor and really enjoy the things that he wants to enjoy. Or you could say, hey, I really think that this is a great romantic movie and this would get me on a second date, which is why I'm bringing her to this movie. It's kind of whatever way you want to take it.
Oh, that's a tough one because I think Who's Harry Crumb would really not please a lot of potential dates. Like, if you want to know me, I think it's probably Field of Dreams because it's family and it's baseball and it's time travel and it's just kind of whimsy.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that that's going to get me a second date.
I think it would because I think the person that you bring on the date would love your love for a sappy movie like Field of Dreams. I mean, my God, when Costner's like, Dad, you want to have a catch? Like, oh, my God, just tears. Yeah. Niagara Falls.
Okay. Well, all right. There we go.
Well, what does Amy think of the movie?
Same thing. She tolerates it. I mean, she probably likes a little bit more. We haven't seen it in probably 20 years together. Wow. Well, together. I've seen it plenty. But she likes it. She likes it okay. I'll say that.
All right, Mark, here's your homework for next week. We got 7 days until we see you next. It's Friday night tonight. Maybe just turn the movie on, get some of popcorn.com Caramel Corn Princess starring Easton with M&Ms in it. Pull up a chair and just go ahead and watch Field of Dreams with Amy.
I wanted to show it to my daughters, too. I definitely want to do that. Aw,
that's a special moment.
Yeah.
That's cool.
There you go. Jared, what's yours? Superman versus Batman versus Spider-Man versus Batman again?
The Snyder Cut?
Oh my God, Justice League. Well, actually, so if you guys don't know, Justice League, the Zack Snyder cut came out earlier this year and it was a 4-hour movie on HBO Max. And Ashley watched every minute of that 4 hours with me.
Wow.
And if I already didn't know that she was the one that doubled down on it, I would say it's a movie that actually, I'll tell you a story that again, you guys are going to like slap me across the face because of the stupidity that I am. Back when Ashley and I were just friends, in the first few months of our friendship really starting to form, I told her that my favorite movie is the 1978 Superman. But I was like, but I think you might like the second one better because there's a little bit more of a love romance involved in the storyline. And I told her like my ideal date. We were talking about our ideal dates, and I said, oh, I'd probably be watching Superman or Superman 2 with, you know, Chinese food and Junior Mints, because I love Junior Mints. And she sent me a picture like a week later. She was on her couch by herself, Chinese food, Junior Mints, and watching Superman 2. And it's still
the thing I've ever heard.
It still took me 2 years before we started dating. So as you can see, I know the stupidity is very, but like that moment was something that will always just be like, wow, you are just an incredible human being. And, it was cool.
Did you say, wow, that looks like fun. Enjoy.
Well, that was in the midst of the confusion between Ashley and I, between us. Like, are we friends? Are we more than friends? Like everybody who knew us at that point was like, hey, you guys like feel like boyfriend, girlfriend. This is kind of weird. And so it was always like, I was in love with her back then and just couldn't bring myself to like get out of my dumbness. So that was like, you know, and then I would respond and saying like how awesome she is and how much I care for her and like, oh my God, this is so much, this is awesome. And so like, it's not that hard to believe that Ashley was a little confused back then. But yeah, that was cool. So anyway, my movie would be the 1978 Christopher Reeve Superman, because one, I think it's a movie that females can enjoy as well. Cause it is like this, you know, Christopher Reeve one is not that hard to look at when he's in, you know, the blue suit. My God, what a stud. And then it also has that romance element and that magical element that, you know, a lot of people can get behind.
Good answer.
Dean, what about you?
I think I talked about this on the podcast a while ago that Kaylin and I tried to watch that movie Akira, the anime movie from like the late 80s. And I'll be honest, I hadn't seen it in a while. I remember loving it when I was a kid, a teenager. And Kaylin and I tried watching it, and I think she fell asleep like 20 minutes into it. So I would say that movie because it was like a childhood favorite of mine, but it didn't really go over all that well for Kaylin and I. But then again, like, it's a great movie. It just, there are some slow moments in it. And so like, I can see why someone would fall asleep in it. Like there were moments where I was kind of even getting a little like bored. But other than that, I would say maybe like You guys all have these really great answers. I would say maybe, oh my gosh, get out of here. Sorry, I'm just getting a phone call. I would say maybe How to Train Your Dragon is a really good one.
Is there no movie that I feel like you, it would be like 2001, A Space Odyssey. You know what I mean? Something that like is crazy. Well,
I love Interstellar, and Kaylin has like set up a nice like little, like last year for my birthday, Kaylin set up like a home theater in the spare bedroom and put on Interstellar for us. And we watched that all night and it was really good. Again, it's another great movie, but there is so many slow moments. I just think our attention spans are dwindling down every single year. And, you know, the plot development, if it doesn't happen fast enough, we just kind of get over it. But
what about Into the Wild? The guy gets in a van and heads up to Alaska and find his corpse later.
Yeah. We were actually just talking about that movie. I was just on a bachelor party with Kaylin's uncle, and he lived in Alaska for a long time. And we were talking about Alexander Supertramp, and he was like, yeah, in Alaska, everyone hates Alexander Supertramp. Like, he was so unprepared. He made so many foolish decisions. And it's so interesting to think about, because like we all look at him as like a really interesting, kind of like a heroic figure, but people in Alaska don't really seem to like him all that much.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I was a huge Into the Wild fan. When that movie came out, I saw it 2 times in theaters. I read the book. I was fascinated by Alexander Supertramp.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. Mark's got his homework. I'll think of a better movie for you guys to share next week. And then we'll all come back full circle and share all of our experiences, I guess. But that's going to do it for this week's episode of Help, I Suck at Dating, you guys. I really appreciate the listeners joining, tuning in and joining us this week. The Shaws of Sunset cast members, Mike and Paulina, thank you so much for joining us as well. Be sure to check out their show, Shaws of Sunset, on Bravo. They've got a million episodes because they're in their 9th season now, so you won't be short for content there. Jared, one last chance. This is your very last chance to share the sex of your baby.
We should really cut it off with me being like, and then the podcast end. Help, I suck at dating. We're going to share it soon. You know, I got to talk to the wife. Obviously, she's the boss. And she's the one who's persistently being sick and growing life inside of her while I just get her fast food and crackers sometimes. So it's really up to her, rightfully so. But who knows? We'll see what happens next week. So make sure everyone keep emailing us, keep following us, and please tune in next week where hopefully we all suck a little less.
Follow Help by Suck at Dating on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.